ngikhuluma ngokulalela kwenu.
Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk Diaspora Forum, a platform where we discuss issues affecting Zimbabweans in the diaspora. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your host, Jonga Kandemiri. Today we are talking about child trafficking following reports that Botswana and South Africa had intercepted unaccompanied children from Zimbabwe to South Africa. But first, let's take a look at what is happening here in the United States, where all eyes are on the seven so-called battleground states that are expected to determine the outcome of the 2024 presidential election. While some of them have shifted politically over the years, the western swing state of Nevada does not lean strongly toward one major party or the other. VOA's Dora Mekwa reports from Las Vegas.
Nevada, home to 3.1 million people, is probably best known for Las Vegas, its most famous city, also known as Sin City.
It's a bit of a paradox. I mean, they're seen as perhaps a liberal state in some sense because it was the first state that really pushed no-fault divorce. It has gambling in certain counties. It allows prostitution. But it also has this undercurrent of being very, very conservative in some respects.
Nevada reliably voted Republican from the late 1960s until the early 2000s. Since then, the state regularly swings between the two political parties. Nevada's population has more than tripled since 1980. Many recent newcomers are from predominantly liberal California.
What's happened is the Clark County, which is the county where Las Vegas sits, is now 72% of the voting population in this state. So what has happened to Nevada is what was once a rural Mountain West state has become an urban West Coast state.
There's Vegas, and then there's the rest of Nevada. And from my knowledge, Vegas tends to be more on the Democrat side, whereas the rest of Nevada is more Republican. But then again, most of the population is in Vegas.
Despite the population explosion, Nevada remains heavily working class, with many residents working manual jobs.
So things like wages, things like unemployment, things like housing affordability, just inflation in general, so things like fuel prices, all of those things affect people a little bit more here in Nevada than they might some other states.
College students at the University of Nevada at Las Vegas outline their top issues. Some will vote for the first time now that they've reached the voting age of 18.
Definitely abortion, definitely the economy. What else? Education as well.
The state of the economy, probably just the border.
I'm kind of broke college kid. I would just like to be able to better afford food. I would like to be able to have a single job that pays enough to help me with all of my needs.
When they vote in November's general election, Nevadans will also vote on whether to install a right to abortion in the state constitution.
The issue overall has already proven to be a big driver, a big motivator of turnout in prior elections, and I think this one will be no different.
Still, Miller says no one should underestimate former President Donald Trump's chances of winning Nevada.
I think that Trump is being perceived as a candidate unlikely to win Nevada simply because he hasn't won the last two times. I wouldn't discount the importance of economic issues as driving the decision for voters in this state.
Good evening, Nevada!
Nevada's critical role as a battleground state is why both presidential nominees, Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris, are spending time here. Because ultimately, what happens in Vegas could determine who will lead America for the next 4 years.
You're fired! Get out of here! You're fired!
Dora McQuar, VOA News, Las Vegas.
And now to Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe doesn't have a thriving stand-up comedy scene tradition. But when Lenmo Jonas was exposed to the art form in his native Zimbabwe, he knew that making people laugh was what he wanted to do. VOA reporter Keith Baptiste caught up with him in Harare and has the story.
Can you make some noise for Lenmo Jonas?
The life of a stand-up comic is no joke, as the saying goes, especially in Zimbabwe, where comedians can face harassment and intimidation if their comedy targets the government or police.
Guys, my grandparents love me so much, chickens panic when they see me coming. Every time when I show up, she's like, "Wah!"
But 31-year-old Zimbabwean comedian Lenmo Manyenyeka, who goes by his stage name Lenmo Jonasi, learned about the power of laughter as a young man.
I started doing comedy back in 2012, when I was like 18, 19 years old. And it just, I fell in love with how comedy makes people feel. Because my grandmother, my grandfather used to watch comedy. I just fell in love with how it made them laugh. And I was like, I want to do that to everybody.
Jonasi is originally from Chimanimani in eastern Zimbabwe, but came to the U.S. in 2021 and now lives in Pennsylvania. He has a deep passion for comedy, but says pursuing it professionally has not been easy.
So I quickly learned how to adjust myself, learn the culture of the people around, and then figure out how to communicate with them. It's not an easy thing that happens overnight.
But it has paid off. In May 2024, he appeared on a popular U.S. TV program, America's Got Talent, and earned the coveted Golden Buzzer, securing his place as a finalist. He says his time on AGT was a unique learning experience that has shaped his comedic voice.
Performing at AGT was one of those, like, crazy experiences, learning curve. So I learned how to be on set. I learned how to read the teleprompter. I'm like, that's what I need to learn right there. So I'm just learning different things, you know, that I'm going to use in my career. And I'm glad I was part of a big production like that.
Appearing on AGT has opened new opportunities for Jonasi in his home country. He recently hosted a major stand-up show at the Shoko Festival, an annual urban culture festival. Despite this success, Jonasi says that comedy is still a young art form in Zimbabwe.
We need to create a culture of going out to watch stand-up comedy. Bring comedy to the people, you know, make it a culture, make people aware, you know, teach them about the culture of comedy. I think it's time Africans tell their own story.
As for Lenmo Jonas's run on America's Got Talent, he didn't win, he took fifth place. But like every good comedian, he would take what he learned and the unique experience and make it funny. Keith Baptist, VOA Africa, Harare, Zimbabwe.
This is Live Talk Diaspora Forum. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. Neighboring South Africa and Botswana are said to have seen an increase in cases of unaccompanied children from Zimbabwe entering into these countries in recent months, prompting Botswana police to intensify stop and search of vehicles in transit from Zimbabwe to South Africa. Recently, Botswana detained 14 children who were intercepted on their way to South Africa with a cross-border transporter. After the arrest of the transporter, authorities demanded that only parents or legal guardians, after producing proof, would be allowed to collect the children. In December 2023, South African border officials said they intercepted more than 400 unaccompanied children who had traveled from Zimbabwe. The Border Management Authority said the children, all aged under 8, traveled on dozens of buses. While the cases are classified as child trafficking, it is mostly cross-border transporters taking children whose parents work or stay in South Africa, either for school or visits. Ongovadiwa teriri nevatariri tinogamuchirai muchirongwa chedu cheLive Talk Diaspora Forum nhasi uri musi wechitatu tichikurukura nezvekuburitswa munyika kwevana vachiendeswa kunyika dzakaita seSouth Africa vasina vakuru vanovaperekedza kana veukama asi vachiita zvekutumidzirwa nevemabhazi pamwe nevemichovha. Mazuva mashoma apera, Botswana inonzi yakabata vana gumi nevana 14 vaibva kuZimbabwe vachienda kuSouth Africa vari mumaoko emutyairi wemotokari. Gore rapera muna zvita, mapurisa anochengetedza miganhu muSouth Africa anoti akabatawo vana vanodarika mazana mana kana kuti 400 vaedza kupinda munyika iyi vasina vabereki kana vaperekedzi kana matsamba anovaratidza kuti vapiwa mvumo nevabereki kana veukama kuti vange vachiyambuka muganhu kupinda muSouth Africa parwendo urwu. Matano aya anoonekwa sekuendesa vana muhutapwa kana kuti child trafficking, asi kuna vabereki neveukama vari kuita izvi vanenge vasingaone chakaipa pazviri. Ndo nyaya tiri kuti tikurukure nhasi. But before we bring in our panel to discuss this matter, let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. To help us dissect our topic, we are joined by Velimpini Ndlovu, a legal advisor, and Luke Mufaro Dziti from the Zimbabwe Immigration Federation, both based in South Africa. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Tinotenda. Thank you. Regai tizwe kuti ndiani ari parunhare. Dziti muripo here parunhare? Tine urombo mumwe wevadari vedu vaLuke Dziti, nhare yavo yadonha, asi regai tizame zvakare kuvadzosa pachirongwa. While we are trying to bring back Mr. Dziti on the show, let me start with you, Mr. Velimpini Ndlovu. We've heard about cases of children being taken to South Africa or trafficked to South Africa, as the law may say. But for those who are sending their children across the Limpopo, they think that they are just finding someone to help them cross with the children to South Africa. What do you say about this?
What we see happening is, like you say, not a case of child trafficking and such, because it's just parents who cannot afford maybe the money that's needed for them to make passports for the children. And then what they end up doing, they just during school holidays or whenever they meet the children to visit them, because some children are even children who are not yet even at school, they just contract what is known as Zomalaisha to just take those children to come, to bring the children to South Africa or to Botswana if the parents stay in Botswana, or via Botswana to South Africa to just visit them. And then we usually see that when schools close in Zimbabwe, that's when the children will be brought to Botswana or South Africa without the children having any passports. Of course, it's not ideal, but it is what it is. That's the reality, that a lot of parents or a lot of people cannot actually afford the exorbitant prices that are supposed to be paid if you need a passport, given the fact that also with children, their passports expire after 5 years. So children under 12 years of age, their passports expire after 5 years. And the passports cost quite a lot. I don't know how much it costs when you're in gym, but when you're those who are in South Africa, it costs about 4,900 for just a passport.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Mr. Dlove. Please do stay on the line. Mr. Dziti, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. Pleased to be here again.
Yes, thank you so much. We have heard that Botswana and South Africa have seen an increase in unaccompanied children going through Botswana to South Africa or to both countries. What do you say about this? Can we say it's part of the migration process that is affecting many countries since people say now the world is a global village, or what do you say about it?
Okay, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk again. What I would say is it's illegal. What people are doing are giving their kids to some smugglers to take them to South Africa. It's illegal because according to the law, in any country on the planet, including Botswana and South Africa, everyone must be passing through the border, which is the legal point of entry, using a passport. But this is what happens. When the economy of Zimbabwe has been bad for so many years, a lot of women, including their husbands or boyfriends, flocked to South Africa to come and work illegally. Some would pass by the border, a correct point of entry, and be given like 30 days. And in those 30 days, they get a job. And when they get a job, they do not take to the country, rendering them illegal immigrants. But because of the bad situation in Zimbabwe, they will start feeling pity for their kids they left today and end up engaging this smugglers. Most of them are known as Malaysia. You know, these people who have got trucks who are used to drink some pills at the border and paying police all the way until they bring kids to South Africa. My organization really condemn a practice where kids are brought undocumented to South Africa because they will not be able to go to school. But I'm quite aware that the situation in Zimbabwe is so bad, and I bet in the Amazon, Mnangagwa, you can even tell that the CSHIG currently recently fell, and most of the schools do not have furniture, they do not have books. Children are starting, they go a lot of, the traffic, a lot of people to school, whereas in South Africa, schools are everywhere. Women are living and working in the location. Kids just go to the nearby schools where mothers would want to stay with their kids. So it's a work of passion done by most of the families. To say, I will not disappear in Zimbabwe, they bring their kids to South Africa illegally, mostly because they cannot afford a passport. Recently, the passport price is 4,900 rand. I say it's 250 United States dollars to get a passport in South Africa. Now, if you're a mother and you've got four, it means you need a total of 12,500 of, that's about 5,000, 5 people. That's 25,000 rand. Mm-hmm. You get passport only before you count your bus fare. So they end up bringing the kids illegally because it's cheaper to do so, or they might take forever to raise the required amount of a passport. We've pleaded with the government of Zimbabwe to reduce the price of passport so it can be affordable, because the price of passport in South Africa is 10 times compared to passport of other countries like Swaziland, it's 80 rand. Mm-hmm. And Zimbabwe is paying 4,900.
Thank you.
To acquire a passport, which is almost 50.
Thank you.
It's quite so sad. And to women, it's like it's normal. They have to try their own.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Dziti. I'll come back to you. Thank you, Mr. Dziti. I'll come back to you. Let me just bring in Mr. Ndlovu there. Mr. Ndlovu, we understand these parents and guardians, they pay the transporters to have their children transported to South Africa or to Botswana so that they facilitate or lubricate the process. Why can't they use that money that they use to pay these Malaysians and transporters to illegally have their children cross into South Africa or Botswana? Why can't they just use that money to get documents and have the children cross legally?
As the other guest has already said, It's the money that is used to get a passport and the money that is used by to pay Malaysia. It's not the same. It's not the same. Because also the Malaysia or the transporters are people known to those people. Because you can't just hand over your kids to someone who you don't know. So you can make a payment arrangement with a transporter to say, bring my child, I will pay this much, and then the other month end I will pay this, the remaining money. You know me, you know where I stay. They actually, most of those kids will not be coming from the even from the cities. They'll be coming from the rural areas, and the transporters are actually maybe people who are neighbors or even relatives of those people. But when you have to pay the 4,900 for the passport, or however amount it is in Zim, I think it's 170 for the other passport or $250 for the other passport. The government will not take any installments for the passport. They will want you to have that much. And remember, even if you have a passport, you still have to pay for the transport. The transport, the bus, even though it's cheaper than the transporter, it's not much cheaper. You find that a bus from Johannesburg to from Bulawayo or from Harare to Johannesburg is around 650. And then now you check that money, and then you check the 1,500 that the transporter will be wanting. So you see the difference now. It becomes even less.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you say 650, that everyone, even those who have got a passport, or even 700 or 800, pay. Then you see now the difference is now around 800.
Right? So they will be saving on that.
So the parents will be saving on the, because the truth of the matter is that no one has that much money for passports.
Thank you.
As I've already said, that the passports for children usually last only for 5 years.
Thank you so much.
If you look at the opportunity cost, you will see that it's actually better to try and negotiate with people that you know and have them transport your children to you and back to Zim.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ndlovu. Vabviti titaure nerurimi rwaamai. Vabereki vari kuita izvi vanenge vachiti vari kutsvaga nzira dzakareruka, asi vane ruzivo here rokuti vari kupara mhosva nezvavari kuita izvi?
Hongu, ichokwadi chamataura. Vabereki vanoziva kuti zvavari kuita izvi kupara mhosva, nekuti sezvandataura pekutanga, zviri kunze kwemutemo. Kuti hakuna munhu anofanira kunge achiyambuka pabhodha kupinda mune imwe nyika asina pasipoti. Saka vabereki vanotobhadhara vana malaita kana kuti vanhu vemota ava mari sekutaura kwanga kuchiita mukoma wangu ava ma1,500-2,000 pamwana umwe chete kuti abve kuzimbabwe zviri kunze kwemutemo achizosiyiwa kwavanogara kumalokesheni muJohannesburg kungava kutembisa kana kuti kuchero kuCape Town chaiko. Saka vanhu vanoya nemota vanozochaja mari yakati wandei kusvika kuma2,000 inyaya yekuti vanobhadhira mapurisa mukira. Asi zvakangodarowo, izvi zvakachipa kudarika kosti yekuti pawanikwe pasipoti yemwana. Nokuti sezvandataura pokutanga kuti pasipoti yekuZimbabwe inoita zviuru zvina nemazana mapfumbamwe 4,900 rand. Saka vazhinji havachikwanisa kuiwana nokuti vanhu vanoshanda mudzimba vazhinji nevamwe vanoshanda mumabasa okungobata-bata havawani kana hafu yemari izvi pasalari yavo mugove wavanowana muzenedzi vamwani vachiwana ingati zviuru zviviri nehafu yechiuru yemadhora 2,500 pamwedzi. Saka havatokwanisi kuti vakwanise kubhadhara pasipoti kuti vana vauye pasipoti, national pasipoti. So vanozosarudza kupa zvavo vanhu ava nedzimota dzavo vanouya nemusango kana kuti nekupi vachibhadhara vanobhadhara kusvika musango. Zviri kunze kwemutemo, vanoziva kuti zviri kunze kwemutemo, ende zvakare vanotoziziva kuti kana munhu achinge abatwa imhosva. Saka vanoita chivindi zviya zviya zvekuti
zviri nani hazvo mwana auye kuno tita zvikunze kwemutemo pane kuti mwana afi nezara ari kuzimbabwe kuzimbabwe kune zara hapana
chingazvizivi
nekuti kuzvitarisa vanhu vari kubva kuzimbabwe vachiva south africa havati kutanwa musouth africa vachienda kuzimbabwe so mamaumiro ezvinhu vanhu vakungoita sezvinoita vanhu vanobva kumorocco vachienda kuspain
kudarika
naro ini munofiwa.
Thank you. Let me go to Mr. Ndlovu. Mr. Ndlovu, is there any way that can help to legalize this whole process besides intercepting and maybe detaining the children? Is there? Are we going to see the South African authorities or Botswana authorities accepting that explanation from Zimbabweans that no, we are sending our children, they are just helping us to care our children or what?
No, the South African authorities and the Botswana authorities will just use the law as they know it, as it's written down. Because the South African government, for as an example, used the Immigration Act of 2002 as amended. But they also understand and they also know what's happening. But because the law is the law, they will at times, from time to time, because the few instances where children have been caught while traveling with those transporters are just a few incidents. There are many people who, there are many children who cross over from Botswana and from Zimbabwe coming to South Africa more than the ones that are caught. The ones that are caught, most of the time, they are caught and then it's picked up by news media and then it's sensationalized. But everyone who deals with immigration issues, like some of us who do on a daily basis, we know that these things happen. And we're not even surprised that these things happen. We know that these things will continue to happen. So when a child, because a child can't be arrested, so when they can only arrest the transporter and then they will call the guardians to come and get the children, because the children can't be arrested.
Because Mr. Ndlovu, a question to you there. So when the parents go to collect their children, are they not also arrested?
No, they can't be arrested because they wouldn't have done any crime. You say you giving the trans, you saying I don't have money for a passport is not a crime. I don't have money for a passport, but I want to see my children, right? So it's a parent who's desperate to see their children, to have their children visiting them, and also to actually interact with their child while the children are still growing up. Even if you have to try and charge that parent, what do you charge the parent with? Given the fact that also the parents are neither South Africans nor Botswana citizens, it will be difficult for Botswana to actually charge them.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ndlovu. Mr. Dzite, before we end the show, what advice can you give to Zimbabwean parents who are separated from their children and who are also thinking of maybe using the transporters from Malaysia to have their children brought to them?
Okay, thank you so much. The advice I would give to parents in South Africa who want to bring their kids to South Africa from Zimbabwe, I would advise them to just save as much as they can for a time they can and get a passport for the child to bring them to South Africa. Because in the end, if they bring kids legally, they will have problems sending them to school again. And if the kids are smuggled, like what my brother, the lawyer, was saying here, the parents themselves can get into trouble. But like now in Botswana, you see, they get the children at the Department of Social Welfare until they find the parents. And if they realize the parents was paying Malaysia to smuggle the kids, the parents will also get into trouble and be jailed. Most probably in Botswana or elsewhere. But it's a criminal offense, it's a Section C for human trafficking.
Thank you so much.
So I encourage parents to try by all means to get it in an asylum.
Thank you, Mr. Dzite. Time is not on our side. Thank you so much, Mr. Dzwiti. That brings us to the end of our show. We'd like to thank our guests, Mr. Velempini Ndlovu, a legal advisor, and Mr. Luke Mufaro Dzwiti from the Zimbabwe Immigration Federation, both based in South Africa. And of course, a big thank you to you, our valued listeners and viewers at home. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington, D.C.